So that you can know what it is that you believe, we include an affirmation of our faith each time we gather together. This one from Colossians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 20. The Son, S-O-N, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Word of God for today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 43 through 48. This is Jesus speaking in what some know as a part of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of this holy word. Today, to talk about the Bible, we are going back in time, not too far back, just over 100 years. Today is Veterans Day. This day, November 11th, was chosen as Veterans Day because of World War I, what was then known as the Great War. The Great War ended on November 11th, 1918, 100 years ago today. The war was so horrible and terrible and so destructive of war that it would be called the war to end all wars. Having experienced the devastation, no one could imagine ever going to war again for any reason. 10 million soldiers died in 4 years of World War I from all the major conflict nations, Russia, Germany, France, Great Britain, and its Commonwealth nations, the Empire of Austro-Hungary, Italy, Serbia, Belgium, the United States, and many other countries. The number of casualties, which includes wounded and missing people, rolled to over 30 million. We cannot guess at such numbers, but in some cases, entire towns, young men were wiped out in that war. Entire college graduating classes died in that war. The war had been so horrible that the International League of Nations was established. It was the first international organization whose principal mission was to maintain world peace. Our own U.S. President Woodrow Wilson sponsored such an organization. The U.S. established this day as Veterans Day. Veterans Day originated as Armistice Day on November 11th, 1919, the first anniversary of the end of World War I. November 11th was the day of that armistice that ended the war. World War I ended 100 years ago today. Congress passed a resolution in 1926 for an annual observance of Veterans Day, and November 11th became a national holiday beginning in 1938. Unlike Memorial Day, Veterans Day pays tributes to all American veterans, living or dead, but especially gives thanks to living veterans who served their country honorably during war or peacetime. World War I was the world war until World War II broke out in 1939-1941 for America's involvement. And yet, America had not been fully involved in the Great War. The Great War began in 1914, and we, the U.S., did not go to war until 1917. We were barely in the war a year and a half, and we only had troops in the front lines for 6 months. But to talk about our Bible verses for the day, let's roll the clock back a few more years, back 104 years to 1914. Let me give you some perspective on the year 1914. This building that we are in was here. These stained glass windows were here. The congregation that was here met on Sunday, November 15th, and the next Sunday after church, they would all file out for a photo of the congregation, a copy of which is on display. The date was November 22nd. 1914. But let's go to Europe in our minds. Let's go to the World War I battlefield in Belgium. Let's look at Christmas morning, 1914. On Christmas Day, 1914, amid the bloody trenches, just 5 months into World War I, a memorable event dubbed the Christmas Truce occurred. In place of the rattle of gunfire and the crash of bursting artillery shells, familiar German and English Christmas carols floated through the frosty air. In a number of sectors, officers and privates on both sides emerged from their trenches to mingle, exchange Christmas greetings, give one another small gifts and mementos. The amazing part of this experience for several days on this battlefield in Europe just isn't that there was a truce. Truces had been known in modern warfare for many reasons, evacuating the wounded or burying the dead. But this truce was not an official truce. And this truce just happened because of a Christian holiday, which was the celebration of the birth of Jesus the Christ. This truce happened without plans, even in the middle of a battlefield fought over by soldiers at war. Soldiers at war, seasoned soldiers who had seen the enemy up close in all the enemy's murderous fury. One book has described human soldiers as killer angels, for God made man a little lower than the angels. Many people still today believe that people are basically good. In reality, the First World War erased that idea from many people's minds. How could humanity be basically good but doomed to slaughter each other at war? The reality became clear that we would keep fighting no matter what, and that the only way the war might end, or for war to be prevented, would be to force nations to a bargaining table. This has been true even when the nations at war were considered Christian nations. All of these men in World War I had probably been baptized, as they were all in name, at least, members of Christian nations. Some of them, maybe most of them, had received confirmation following their baptism. Why? Because that was just the way things were done. Both nations were tradition-bound people. Germany was a monarchy, had a king. England, although holding elections, continued with a hereditary monarch on the throne of England. There were even later in the war Christmas truces, but the first one was most extensive and best documented. That Christmas day in 1914, the weather had improved sharply just before December 25th, 1914. It had cleared and become colder. This ended the recent weeks of rain. Rain was the bane of every soldier, living like squirrels in holes in the ground, as these soldiers were doing. Christmas Day was a Friday in 1914, if the day of the week still meant anything to these soldiers whose daily task, whatever day it was to stay alive while killing as many of the enemy as they could. That was the only way the war might end sooner. The unofficial truce may have been helped by the arrival of Christmas packages from home for the Christmas holiday. There was food and drink and tobacco and other gifts. The British troops even received official gift boxes from the King of England with greetings that stated, "May God protect you and bring you home safe." The German soldiers may have started the truce. Several of them on Christmas Eve placed Christmas trees, a long-standing German tradition, placed Christmas trees at the top of their own trenches. One young German soldier got leave to go to town, purchased a small tree, returned and paraded it up and down his trench. Singing broke out in places in both British and German trenches, and requests were even made for special songs from across the battle line. On Christmas Day, the unofficial truce continued. It was a beautiful day with a heavy frost on the ground. What we might fail to appreciate in the quiet of our homes was that all of the soldiers were struck by the quiet that fell upon the battlefield. A British captain, Captain Hulse, commented that he found the whole scene impressive. During the day, individuals and groups ventured out to meet and greet their enemies. Although often soldiers attempted to make sure no trench was left without armed guards, it happened that entire units left the trenches and their weapons to meet their counterparts on the other side. One officer could see the same thing happening up and down the line. In one area, there was an impromptu rabbit hunt. Both British and Germans received some fresh meat that day. The rabbits had been well fed on the crops that had been abandoned in the farm fields, now cut with trenches. One German ran back to his trench only to return with a camera. And there exist today photos of the Christmas truce of 1914. And for a few moments at Christmas 1914, soldiers at war, killers of other mothers' sons, realized there is a God who would rather we talk than fight. And those soldiers did talk. There were soccer games, football games, the Europeans called it. That same year, 1914, in America, Harvard College continued to dominate collegiate football, American football. Harvard football team was unbeaten in 1914. They finished the season with a win over arch rival Yale. Addison Bliss, who graduated in 1914 from Harvard, had played football at Harvard. He was captain of the unbeaten football team. He volunteered and joined the American Ambulance Field Corps, serving in World War I. But he would die from disease even before the American troops got into the trenches. One of a classmate of Addison Bliss, Clyde Maxwell, was born in Australia of a British father and an American mother. After graduation, Clyde Maxwell sailed for England and joined the army to fight in the World War. His regiment went over the top of the trenches into the attack at 3 a.m. on July 3, 1916. His regiment numbered 1,100 men, but by nightfall that night, only 98 men answered the roll call. Clyde Maxwell died in what would be known as the Battle of the Somme. Those men are just a representative number of the 11,000 Harvard men who served in World War I. 400 of them were killed. If we add the number of Harvard's sister college, Radcliffe, an all-women's college, we find many more who served. Three nurses of Radcliffe graduates died in World War I. There would eventually be Daleville men fighting in Europe. The late Bob Taylor's father was wounded in the Meuse-Argonne campaign. Everett Forrest, Daleville born and raised, and probably a member of this church, worshipped where you are sitting now, joined the army, and was also wounded. Charles Hole, also born and raised in Daleville, lived much of his life here, may have attended Daleville Christian Church sitting where you sit now. But let's look at Jesus' words, keeping in mind that in the midst of a terrible war, the troops held their own truce. They held their own truce, a moment of peace during the day set aside to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Jesus, who said, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus' words are based in the Old Testament. Now, you'll look long and hard to find anywhere in the Old Testament that says you are allowed to hate your enemies, although, as you might imagine, for human beings who have an in-group, the blessed, and an out-group, the non-blessed, you know how they got there. Pretty soon, the blessed begin to see the non-blessed as enemies of God. The Dead Sea Scrolls may have passages and teachings saying that hate is called for, but that group at the Dead Sea were extreme separatists. Many authors have said that this statement of Jesus's, that you love your enemies, is the most radical of all of Jesus's teachings, the one teaching that separates followers of Jesus from everyone else. And having read the Bible, you know that Jesus doesn't mean for us to love by having a warm, fuzzy feeling for people who oppose you. Love means concrete action. Followers of Jesus are called to do good to others, to consider their well-being just as we easily consider our own well-being. So why did the pastor choose this verse for November 11th, 2018, the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I? Because even during that terrible war, a war of horror, the First World War, a war of such psychological damage that physical survival of the war was not enough. One Australian man for 12 years after the war could still not remember his own name. He suffered from what was called then shell shock, a form of what we now call post-traumatic stress syndrome. Even during this most terrible war in 1914, on Christmas Day, there was a moment of peace. A moment of peace because of Jesus Christ. I never realized until this election this last week what a radical song I teach the children of the daycare. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. I wonder if you can imagine any of the candidates in this last election singing that song with any gusto at all, let alone actually believe that. It makes me want to ask the candidates, do you really believe that Jesus loves your opponent's children? Because your advertising doesn't talk like that's true. Every one of us is created in God's image, whether we are Christian or not. Every one of us was formed, knit together in our mother's womb for God's purposes. Every one of us is due a measure of respect, not because we earned it, but because God made us. I just read the words of a recovering drug addict yesterday. He said he got off drugs and calls everyone to get off drugs. He said, "You will lose nothing getting off of drugs. You'll lose nothing. You will gain everything. You will discover what a miracle you really are." Yes, that addict had a spiritual awakening, and he is healing a dozen years sober. Today, we in America are in a very different war. A war on terrorism. I believe that we are still in a war on drugs. Still, there is violence against innocent people, not soldiers in different colored uniforms when a war has been declared, but violence against our own people. Jews targeted, blacks targeted, Christians targeted, other people profiled as thugs, rapists, thieves. God never wanted this for you or them. We suffer violence from people who apparently know nothing about Jesus or Jesus' words or Jesus' power to help us love our enemies. Jesus does not ask us to do anything without offering his help. Take my yoke, Jesus said. I will bear the burdens with you. Can we, as they did on Christmas Day 1914, remember Jesus' words? Can we respect others, even our enemies, as God's creation for God's purposes? Can we love our enemies and pray for them who persecute you? Could you have done that in 1914? Can you do it today? We have a song we sing here at Daleville Christian Church at Christmas, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and Let It Begin with Me. For the follower of Jesus, peace doesn't begin anywhere else but with each of us. Salvation is peace, peace in our hearts. Let me put it this way. If you have salvation in Jesus Christ, then yesterday is forgiven, tomorrow is certain and secure, and today the Lord is with you. So what is there to fight about? Now, don't get me wrong. There are things worth fighting for. There are things worth dying for. They just aren't money, power, and property. We fought World War II against two of the worst tyrants of the modern era, determined to enslave and murder entire populations. The ancient nation of Israel went to war, but it wasn't for money or power or property. Often Israel fought for security, and sometimes the Lord had to remind them, don't worry about the enemy at your gates. And the Lord wanted Israel to live in peace. The prophets for God declared it. Friends, in the world, war breaks out. But for the followers of Jesus, peace breaks out. Peace breaks out and spills over from our hearts. The word peace is in the Bible over 200 times, 100 times in the New Testament. In the same speech that Jesus says, love your enemies, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Over 100 years ago, peace erupted on a battlefield between soldiers who were armed and equipped for war, a terrible war they had already been at since August of that year. But it was December 25th, the day they remembered as the celebration of the birth of Jesus, the Christ, the Prince of Peace. Peace broke out that day. You followers of Jesus, can it happen again? Will you have peace break out of your hearts? Will you have peace begin with you? Our Lord Jesus said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Amen.